The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Elizabeth Dutton.
Zarin Burnett.
Got a question for you, my girl.
Yes.
You know what's ridiculous?
Oh, do I? Yes, I do.
Lay it out for me.
Okay, AI.
Yeah.
Fully ridiculous.
Uh-huh. Alvin Iverson?
Yes. For many reasons, artificial intelligence.
Oh, the other AI.
Yeah. AI. Uh-oh.
They should call it that, the other AI.
The other AI. Well, so the other AI, pretty
ridiculous.
Because
one's the truth and the other...
But what's really ridiculous is when you kind of turn AI loose to write things or draw images. You know, we've all messed around.
Oh, totally.
That.
This isn't a mashup. Is
no,
it?
It's not.
Oh, yes.
Well, I mean, also, unless you're going to mash up AI and an obituary.
No, I'm over here like Kirk Gibson going around second, pumping
That's
my arm.
Too
yes.
soon. Too
yes.
soon. So
it's October, baby.
AI, stop
Sorry, Oakland.
That.
Go on.
So someone had AI write this obituary, and it is so amazing, and I love it, and I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
Brenda Tent retired from living at the age of old, surrounded by family and natural causes. A librarian from birth, Brenda was an avid collector of dust. She had a sweetheart and married her high school. She loved having hobbies and helping her sons to be disadvantaged youths. She had no horses, but thought she did. The church gave her a choir because she sang like a bird and looked like a bird, and Brenda was a bird.
Brenda was a bird.
She owed us so many poems. The funeral will be held in 1977 at Heaven. In lieu of flowers, send Brenda more life.
The best obituary ever.
I love she had no horses but thought she did.
Like she owed us so many poems.
I think we found my obituary when
totally.
The time comes.
We're just going to pull that and reprint.
1977
Copy,
at
paste.
Heaven. Oh, yeah. It's perfect. So
I love
that,
the funeral in 1977.
My fine feathered friend, is ridiculous.
That's amazing. Okay, well, that segues really nicely into what I want
what
to tell you
now?
Today, which is equally ridiculous. If you have a moment, you got a moment?
Yes.
All right. As storytellers, Elizabeth.
Yes.
We both know how one word, just one ill-turned phrase, can ruin a whole story.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, sometimes, like, it's just even a mispronounced word, like on my part.
Oh,
anyway.
I do that all the time. Sometimes a little bit on purpose.
Oh. Now, in this story, one misunderstood word, it led to a multi-year war. It was a bloody affair there for a while. It was really bad. Like, private security guards were scared for their lives. Elders were going over the barricades to attack the police. It was lawless. It was chaos, Elizabeth. It was wild. And it all came down to two words. Mature trees. This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous. Elizabeth.
Zarin.
I saw this story. I told you. It tickled my fancy because it kind of has everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say everything, I mean it has like a little of everything. And you know how I love stories that have a little of everything.
Oh, sure.
Right? Well, this one, it isn't some, you know, sprawling account of mid-century America.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a deep dive into the 1970s or 1980s and like either a weird religious cult or some drug thing. No.
Okay.
This isn't a Hinge of History story about the 60s, nor is it a turn of the last century where we look back at the way we once were and how we are still the same. No, mm-hmm. Elizabeth. No, Miss Dutton. This time, this is pure 21st century lunacy.
Okay.
This is happening now, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's exactly what it says on the tin. It's a war over trees.
Hmm.
Yes, the Great Sheffield Tree War. You know the city of Sheffield?
Not intimately.
It's in England.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah, it's in South Yorkshire, England, uh-huh. Named after the River Sheaf, which is the city is built around. So what's Sheffield like? Well, Elizabeth, I don't know. I've never been there. I don't know. But from what I've read...
Beautiful city. Never been there.
Very lush with trees. Very green. Prior to this story, all I knew about Sheffield is it's home to my favorite English football club, Sheffield Wednesday.
Did you do Google Earth? Like
you do?
Google Street View?
And just take like a tour of
Hello?
All the streets and just drive
did
around
you?
In like a Google...
No, did you do your due diligence?
My due diligence of a Google Street Tour mm-hmm. of the city? No, because you'll find out why.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did. I did go look into something I was interested in, which was Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah, you know the blue and striped iconic kit. You know them, like the Argentina of England.
Uh-huh.
No, they used to be in the Premier League, so you probably would have known them, like you know, back in like the 90s. But they've since been relegated to second tier Championship League. Been there for like I don't know, forever and a day. Anyway, doing research for this one, I found out that my favorite football club started as an offshoot of a cricket club.
Huh.
Known as the Wednesday Cricket Club.
Oh.
Why Wednesday?
Because they played on Wednesdays?
Well, yes. But why Wednesday? The club was founded in 1820.
Because that's the day that you do Bible study.
No, good guess, though. But this cricket club, right? It started by six cats, six dudes, right? Not mm-hmm. actual cats.
Meow.
I know how your imagination yeah. goes. And so they only had to work half days on Wednesdays.
Oh, interesting.
Wednesday half day, 1820 work style, huh?
Wow.
Right? So they'd meet up and they'd cricket it up. And thus the Wednesday name. Now, 1867, having now turned pro as cricketers, really good club, apparently, the Wednesday Cricket Club started the Wednesday Football Club. Why did they do this? Because they wanted to stay in shape for cricket over the winter months.
Okay.
All right? So, yeah, the Owls become a club. Boom. 1929, they become the Wednesday Football Club, a.k.a. Sheffield Wednesday Football Club. The rest is history. Joyous Sheffield Wednesday history. But that's not why I'm here today, because soccer matches, that's typically what we think of. We thought about, oh, this is where we're going to find people mixing it up with the police and private security.
Sure, sure.
No, this wasn't hooligans in this story putting security guards on blast, Elizabeth. This was tree-loving seniors.
Mm.
Yeah, so let's get to these trees.
The Sheffield, most dangerous game.
Oh, they're wild, wild, these humans, especially when they get old and cagey. Now, Sheffield is apparently mad with the green. I mean, just stupid with trees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from what I found, 61% of Sheffield is considered a green space.
Oh, that's cool.
That's wild. I thought that was great. They have, like, 250 parks and gardens. They, I found also a count, 4.5 million trees. That's how many trees they have.
In one city.
Yeah, and the human population, for comparison, 550,000 people.
Wow.
That's a lot of trees per
person.
That's
a lot of trees.
Right? So, the aforementioned 4.5 million trees. Those weren't enough for the locals. They're like, hey, we want more, or at least we want those 4.5. Do not cut any down. And thus they went to war. Now, some would have said Sheffield had too many trees. Coincidentally, those were the same people with the authority to decide how many of Sheffield's trees should be and would be chopped down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, the trees were being blamed for all the potholes in Sheffield. The streets were just littered with them, apparently. They started calling the town Pothole City. And they're like, no, we prefer Steel City. Oh, no, this is terrible. Pothole City is a terrible nickname. We must do something. So something was done, Elizabeth. The city council met. And then they met, and they met, and they met some more, and they met a bunch, right? This took years. But eventually, studies were commissioned, reports, and then they met some more years of planning. Finally, a general plan of action is announced and it's funded. So the city council, they were proud to announce a new £1.2 billion road improvement project. They called it Streets Ahead. Or
okay.
Streets Ahead.
Wait, 1.2 billion?
Billion.
With a B?
Yeah, with a B, not with an M.
One city?
Yeah. A lot of roads, bridges, big project.
Okay.
It's a multi-year project. This was 2012 when they announced this funded project. the streets ahead, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna stop that. I promise.
It was very Australian.
No, well, whatever. It's supposed to be Cockney leading to Australia.
Well, you...
no, whatever. Fine. The money was earmarked to upgrade the city's sidewalks, Elizabeth. Streetlights, bridges, roads. So £1.2 billion.
Wow.
Now, to repair the roads, obviously this plan called for the mass removal of trees that lined these roads and were causing the potholes. The trees, they would split sidewalks and they caused the potholes by lifting up the road, or so the city council believed.
Mm-hmm.
They never expected their infrastructure improvement project would actually become the start of a years-long war. No one anticipated that, right? But as far as the city council saw, it is all simple. Old trees would be cut down, new trees would be planted, boom, boom, boom. What's the big problem? But Elizabeth, saplings, baby trees, they are not the same as full-grown trees.
That's true.
Right?
They're smaller versions of them.
Just looking at them, you can tell. But in a larger sense, full-grown trees, we're talking like 40, 50-foot tall trees, right?
Oh, these, wow.
Yeah, these are like some real big daddies.
Now, so you're not your typical urban tree.
No, these are like British old-school, like 100-year-old trees, right? And now these trees would be home to numerous species, like, you know, squirrels, birds, bugs, whatnot. Full-grown tree, obviously, it offers shade to the whole environment. There's heat reduction because of this. Not a big problem in England, but still. Also, it helps with rainfall runoff and, mm-hmm. you know, controlling the fog.
I thought they cut down all the big trees to build the ships when England ruled the seas.
These are only 100-year-old trees. So they were replanted. These are the grandchildren of those trees.
But it's when England ruled the seas.
Yes. No, actually, we're going to get into that when England was, you know, rule Britannia.
Right.
So these trees, I mean, like, basically, they look good. They feel good. Everybody loves trees, right? And trees are undeniably dope.
Yeah.
And as I said, they can also be 100 years old. So it's a tie to the past. Mm-hmm. These people are like, oh, this is our connection to when we had empire and what, you know?
Right.
So the bureaucrats, they didn't quite understand this because they were trying to, like, quantify the value of a tree, right? And it's really hard to satisfy a bureaucrat with things like, it just feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, well, we need numbers. So to them, the problem was, you know, we need to remove the trees and replace them. Upgrade. Great, right? So the project of mass tree removal, the Streets Ahead project, it gets managed by this group called the Highways Team. Right, they're put mm-hmm. in charge of this project. As names go, rather unimaginative, the Highways Team, right? It's also kind of vaguely bureaucratic. You know,
yeah.
I don't really like it. It's kind of threatening, too. Like,
like a highwayman?
The Highways Team has decided all your trees must die. Anyway, it kind of sounds like something from a Kafka book, maybe?
Yeah.
Or Ray Bradbury?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Anyway, the Highways Team, these trees were a resource to be managed. That's how they viewed it, right? So they're like, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this problem? And now, bottom line thinkers that they are, mass destruction seemed like, and I quote, the easiest and cheapest option. Right? But this is not what the experts and their own report had told them. Because the City of Council of Sheffield, they had commissioned a report on the tree population. For these 4.5 million trees, they determined 36,000 of these street trees, the ones that actually mm-hmm. would, you know, be problems for the street or lined the streets, they were the ones that they focused on. 36,000 of the 4.5 million.
Yeah.
Highway team's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to replace them. Now, we need to replace a percentage. And then, like, okay, how many? Oh, a large proportion. And so the reports gave an actual hardcore number. Of this 36,000 trees, they said 3%. You should probably replace about 3%. That's how many are dead, dying, or diseased.
Okay.
The rest can be, you know, managed. But these need to be immediately felled. That's what the Brits would say. We would say chopped down. But anyway, the trees had to go. So 3%, that's about 1,080 trees.
Out of 4.5 million.
Out of 36,000 of the street trees.
Okay,
just
3%
of the street trees. So we're down from 36,000 trees, the street trees.
Living on the streets.
Then we got, these Tupac trees, we got 1,080 of them got to go. That's what the report says.
Okay.
Now, because, you know, anyway, as this comes down to the problem, it was, as I said originally up top, there was a misunderstanding about a term, a phrase.
Mm-hmm.
One phrase, if it was properly understood, this whole war to come could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
So what was this choice phrase? Mature trees.
Oh.
AKA trees of a certain age. Now, you see, Elizabeth, in the original report, the experts, they'd use the term mature trees and over mature trees. You're a gardener. You got a green thumb. You know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
It means they're of fruit-bearing or flowering
childbearing age. Childbearing
age. They got childbearing tree hips. Now, 74% of the street trees were termed mature or over mature.
Matronly.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the city councilors of Sheffield, they misunderstood this. They read this as aged. Or as like old biddies. And they wanted some
geriatric,
some younger, sexier trees. So mm-hmm. they're like, How do we get some saplings on these streets?
Gross.
So as these mature trees were the problem, the city council settled on a plan, as I told you, that called for a large proportion of the mature trees to be cut down and replaced with younger trees for the city's sake. Now, report called 3%. City council decided on 74%.
Oh,
big difference.
Shazam. Now, yeah.
Why? As I said, they wanted younger, sexier trees because these trees of a certain age were just not what they wanted on the streets of Sheffield. They debate this for 6 years. In the end, none of this matters because the reports, experts, all of it gets ignored. The highways team goes out there and decides to beautify the streets. Buzz, buzz, let's get the choppers going. Now, they'd ignored the most obvious math of trees, Elizabeth.
What's that?
People don't care how old a tree is. In years, they just love trees. And mature trees, they love the most. Everyone loves them. Haven't they read The Giving Tree? But a mature tree, joy to behold. And for animals, humans alike, we all love it. And this is England. If anybody's going to love some old stuff, you would think it would be English people. I mean, am I wrong about this? Okay, so, like, whatever. So, the Sheffield City Council, they ignore all of that, and they just said, they tell the highways team, go out there, give us some younger, sexier trees, and we need them now. So, when the people of the city find out about this plan, what did they do, Elizabeth? They revolted. This was the start of the Great Tree War of Sheffield.
Huh. Yeah. Okay.
So, let's simmer down, take a little break, and then we'll dive into this Great Tree War.
Excellent. Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals, too. I don't have to worry because SimpliSafe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. SimpliSafe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying SimpliSafe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
All right, Elizabeth, where were we?
Trees.
That's right, the Great Tree War of Sheffield.
Yes.
Okay, at this point, it's 2014.
Okay.
Word starts to spread in Sheffield. Residents start talking about the whole-scale slaughter of their street trees.
Now, I have a quick question.
Yes.
When they were going to replace these with the saplings, were they going to replace it with the same kind of tree, or were they trying to find more street-appropriate trees that have...
Nope, not California. Same trees, just younger ones.
Wow,
just give me sexier, younger trees,
because usually
Elizabeth.
It's like when they have to take out the ones in the street, it's because they planted ones that have more shallow roots that tear up sidewalks.
Totally, the water profile is better for that climate. Yeah, nope. Same trees, just younger.
Okay.
So, slaughter I use that term. It may sound dramatic, right?
I like dramatic.
But I want you to be prepared for what's about to come.
Oh, God.
So why does Sheffield go to war over street trees? Now, I don't know about you, but I'd expect people, as I told you, in the UK to love trees. Like, they have laws that protect your right to just wander wherever you
totally.
Want to go.
Totally.
You know about this? The yeah. Rights of Way Act?
Yeah, you can, like, cut across someone's field if that's the only way to get from, like, one open space to another.
Yeah. The only places you cannot do this are some croplands, mm-hmm. construction sites, mm-hmm. active construction sites,
right.
golf courses, once again, active, racetracks, once again, active, railways, and quarries. So basically anywhere you might get hurt by things that are moving. Other yeah. than that, you can walk.
Yeah, there. Have at it.
So I thought that was wild. So obviously I thought these people would love trees. City Council? They did not think that. And they're from there, Elizabeth.
Yeah,
anyway,
well.
Yeah, so mass tree slaughter, that they get it started, right? The people start to fight back. So one early dynamic in this fight is the city council, as I said, they assume their opponents were, you know, Sheffield people that they could manage. They thought mm-hmm. they knew these people, and that was one problem. They also thought they knew who they were. So they assumed that their opponents were bored, wealthy, white people who were complaining about nothing.
Right, that would like, track.
Because apparently, Sheffield has a really stark economic divide from what I was reading. Mm-hmm. The southwest side, it boasts some of the greatest wealth in the UK. Like, it's like some of the like 20% of the wealth is there, right? It's insane. Conversely, the Northeast is an embarrassment to the crown. It's apparently like some of the most economically disadvantaged people in the whole isle.
Uh-huh.
So from one end to the other, there's this bus line that you can take, and the life expectancy on this bus line improves by 10 years.
Wow.
Just across town. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's not so different than right here in Oakland.
Totally. Exactly. We would recognize these dynamics.
And we had a tree battle not too long ago where at this school you know, there was a guy cutting down a tree who was obviously there from like the, you know, school district maintenance people.
Sure, sure.
And the neighbors were just freaking out, like, how dare you? And then they had to have an arborist come out and break up the protest, who was like, the tree is dead on the inside and it's going to fall on children.
It's a danger to the kids.
Yeah. Listen to the arborists.
Yeah, no, you'll see. There's a debate about that because arborists also can be bought off.
Well, anyone can be bought off.
Yeah, anybody. It's true. Everyone has a price. So yeah. Basically, this Sheffield that we're describing, the southwest side, mm-hmm. is like the Beverly Hills of England, if you will. It's like a land of old rich people who spend their time enjoying all the green spaces they have, and they will fight for their equally old-ass trees.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no one expected them to fight back. I don't know why. The highways team, they're convinced they just need to go in there, chop down a large proportion of the mature trees of Sheffield. Experts commissioned reports suggest, once again, as I said, only a small percentage. Streets Ahead decides, to heck with it, we're going forward. So trouble's brewing right off the bat. 17,000 trees would be removed and cut down. That was the plan. 17,000 of the 36,000. Now, mm-hmm. if you do the math, that's 48.6%. 70,500 of 36,000 is 48.6%. Almost half of
yeah,
the trees
we'll say half.
They plan on cutting down. Original number, 74%, gets down to about 50%. They're like, oh, that's reasonable, right?
Yeah.
Not reasonable enough. So this is also when dogma and a bunker mentality entered the chat. The highways team, they suggest that they need to fast track the tree removals before anyone gets an idea and they can get a resistance organized. So they plan to cut down 5,500 trees right off the bat. Just get out there and get the choppers going. Now, mm-hmm. the planners, they estimate this will take 5 years overall. And the city council, they're pleased as punch to hear them getting right into it. So they're like, yeah, get going, guys. And the highway team's all ready. The resistance is organizing, though, faster than anyone expects.
And there's a one-to-one replacement on these trees?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. So in 2015, the people of Sheffield, they take to the long tradition of what we call direct action.
Mm-hmm.
Much like a tree, it started with just a small seed. But one loaded with potential, Elizabeth, because it started at a place called Neither Edge or Nether Edge, like Netherlands mm-hmm. or your Neither regions.
Your Nethers.
Your Nethers, yeah. Like, I had to, that's the town, like, little village name, I guess, inside. There's, like, villages inside of villages because, mm-hmm. like, you know, they're in South Yorkshire, and then inside of Sheffield is this place called Nether Edge.
Okay.
Which I assume is a neighborhood.
Yeah.
But it may have been a village that just got consumed. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love these British, like, town and village names. I was looking around. You've lived there. Do you have any favorites from your time abroad? Like, for example, the ones I like, there was Devil's Lapful in Northumberland.
Oh, Devil's Lapful.
It's a town name, yeah.
No, I like the Gorbals in Glasgow.
The Gorbals.
I thought that was a cool little neighborhood name.
Yeah, because like in school, you always hear about like Stratford-upon-Avon, where Shakespeare's from.
Uh-huh.
But then I found Fudge Pack upon Humber.
Stop it.
Yes, it's in Humberside.
Fudge Pack?
Fudge Pack upon Humber.
How do you spell it? Like
Fudge Pack, all one word, upon Humber. There's also Horny.
Where does that name come from? Like
Horny Old Road in Malvern Wells.
Okay.
Or the Blind Fiddler in Cornwall. These are town names, apparently.
Okay.
My last one is Fleshshank, Northumberland. I'm from Fleshshank.
I still, wow. So, I'm still processing.
So let them mull around in your head. Anyway, back to the Great Tree War of Sheffield. Mm-hmm. They, a dozen locals, they band together up and they start trying to save the trees. The people unite, Elizabeth. And these people, they know these trees. I mean, I don't mean personally, but like for some, it's possessive, it's personal. They were there for these trees. They're tree defenders.
Uh-huh.
Now, this group of dozen, they're elders, mind you.
Okay.
Elders with money and time. They go out and confront the tree surgeons.
EWM.
hired to remove the trees of a certain age. Now, when their demands that the chainsaws fall silent or ignored, the elders took it to the next level. They're like, we got time, we got money. So they put first their bodies in harm's way.
Oh.
Yeah, they went down and they stood under the tree so that no work could be done. They'd be like, oh, you'll hit us with falling wood.
Ah.
Right, so I thought like you would like this, because like Mario Savio, I immediately thought of him. Like, and him like on the steps of Sproul Hall at UC Berkeley there at 64, leading like a sit-in protest.
Yeah.
You know the speech. Can I do it?
Yes, please
All right. And that brings me to the second mode of civil disobedience. There is a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus. And you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. I love that speech.
Beautiful.
Right?
Beautiful.
So these old Brits start pulling full Mario Savio on these tree surgeons, and they're laying their bodies down on
Did
the ground.
Did they chain themselves to the trees?
I didn't see any footage of them chaining themselves, but they did everything they could. I mean, I'm sure they did do like that cuffing action, you know, where you put the big PVC pipe, right?
They sat under there while they were cutting, and they said, help, help, somebody help.
No, I'm down here, please, no. So this human spirit of defiance, it gets expressed as direct action, right? These rich elders of Southwest Sheffield, they're called upon to save the mature trees, putting their bodies upon the gears, the wheels, right? The tree surgeons who are just there, they're just there to do their jobs. So they're like, well, this is not what I signed up for, right? Like, governor, you feel right now, all right? But they were so real, Elizabeth. They were so real, and they were so ready to fight. So, but not on just the, like, we're going to put down our bodies. They also put their money on the line. They went out and commissioned their own report.
Oh.
Yes, the local tree defender campaigns, they hire this team of experts. They drop an independent report to convince the city council in their own language of paperwork and report.
Right.
They know how this stuff works. They're rich. So they're like, look, the independent report, it points out that storm drainage benefits of trees and air quality improvements. And these are like hard to measure intangibles, but they try to convey them as economic value of the trees, mm-hmm. right? These rich folks, they speak in city council. So they're like, oh, yes. They, rather than like, you know, a tax to be cut or better yet, like a some, you know, tax-free way to improve the society. They're like, look, well, these trees are an economic boon, right? City of Council, they listen, and then they're like, no. They just blow them off, right? So back to direct action.
No.
Computer says no. So the city council wouldn't listen to paperwork reports, and they did listen to protests and fiery shouting voices that came next in public places. And it all started amiably, right? They're old Brits, as I said, right? Originally, they were quite friendly with the tree surgeons that they would find. Mm-hmm. They would, of course, lay down on the ground, but they would also, like, go out there and offer them a spot of tea. What?
Right.
You know, right? It was all very cordial, open, and communicative. And then they take on the democratic engagement path, right? Because they tried to do things according to the mechanisms of their culture. They tried to use the channels of communication they should. They wrote letters to the city council. They filed Freedom of Information Acts. But the city council was bogged down by so many letters and so many Freedom of Information Acts. And also they had the whole problem of years of austerity. They no longer had the staff to deal with all these requests. So it becomes a paperwork war and they get ground down, right? So now, next, action teams formed. Action teams, Elizabeth. Men and women, they put words to down, they put their pens down, and they picked up their arms and defended the trees. Enter Dave Dillner. He formed the Sheffield Tree Action Group, a.k.a. STAG.
Now, oh, nice.
Dillner, he's one of those old British cats who like fought in the war. Pick whatever war you want. being a military man, he still treated
the Boer War.
Yeah, exactly. He treated everything as like part of the war effort, right? So Dave Dillner, he lives in that well-to-do Southwest, but he lives near the heavy equipment depot that the arborists and tree surgeons are launching out of each morning. Mm-hmm. So he goes down there every morning and he wakes up and he steps on a stepladder, and with his binoculars, his field goggles, he peers in and he watches the tree surgeons leaving. Then he gets on his action group chat, his WhatsApp group chat, and he starts giving out from his surveillance outpost updates, right?
Oh, yes.
Like, chipper and barrier wagon, heading, leaving depot now, heading southwest, right? And then someone else would get on it later. We're on it, Dave. And then they would all go and they would report where they had sightings until they could triangulate where the tree surgeons would stop to work. Then they would all descend there. So he would start the like sightings and the rest would say, well, oh yeah, here it is.
If he's just like watching them leave the depot, why doesn't he hop in a car and drive behind them?
He's watching all of them. There's going out.
Than,
so he's saying, this
okay.
one's going that way. This one's going
I
this
see.
Way. This one's,
I
you know,
see.
They got two. They've got a wood chipper and a, you know, cherry picker truck or whatever.
I think that's the, you know,
it's
I
great.
Applaud that, but it's also like he took the easy job.
You got to have a spotter.
That's true.
He's like basically a field officer. What are you going to do? Right. So the action group, as I said, they leap into action. They start confronting tree surgeons standing under the trees that are supposed to be cut down. The arborists would then have to pack up for the day, and this is what the day is called, or they'd have to demand that police show up and remove the protesters. It becomes like a whole deal, right? So this war had not yet become violent. This was still early in the autumn of 2016, but the signs of violence to come, they were already there, Elizabeth. They were in there if you knew what to look for. The tree surgeons certainly felt it. Of course they did. They were there on the front lines. They didn't want to be, but they were there on the front lines. So this company, I should tell them, they're called AMEY, A-M-E-Y.
Okay.
They've been contracted by the Streets Ahead program. Streets Ahead. They work for the highways team in the city council, right? So they asked their bosses if they consider some repairs that would minimize the number of trees that they needed to remove.
Yeah.
The tree surgeons are saying, hey, here's a thought. What if we don't do what we do for a living, and instead you paid us to, I don't know, do what the people want? That would fix things, right? And so the tree surgeons, they're asking not to do their own jobs. And uh-huh. then that, of course, doesn't fly with the city council. They're like, we paid you to cut down trees, cut down trees. So
right.
the Streets Ahead and Highways team, they felt that the protesters were out of touch and not representative of, quote, the real residents of Sheffield. So they were just a small, loud minority, and they should ignore them, and they should get back to cutting down trees.
Yes.
So there's one senior official from the highways team. He'll come out in this story numerous times. His name is Paul Billington. He was a real piece of work, this Billington. He spearheaded what would become the bunker mentality that would take hold. He had that whole classic us against them. Mm-hmm. So
wait, what was his name? Did you say Buzz Killington?
Buzz Killington, producer Dave. Great call. Buzz Killington, my man, Buzz Killington. He decides we need to have an early morning raid. Something to break the morale of the tree defenders. Also, apparently, Buzz Killington's, he wanted to have the police assist them to really let them know they had the state on their side. So an in-house lawyer for the Streets Ahead project, he gets word of this proposed raid. So this raid that's designed to break the hearts and the will of the tree defenders. And he's like, well, what's my advice? Well,
yeah.
Personally, I don't believe what is being proposed could in any way be considered reasonable, right? So that was him. But it wasn't just him. A communications director, also in-house, had a similar reaction when he heard about this planned morning raid to break the hearts and minds.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my professional view is that this is crackers.
So, to use a technical term.
But rather than just tell you about all this, Elizabeth, I'd like you to close your eyes
and
picture it. It's 4:30 a.m. on November 17th, 2016. You are standing outside of a supermarket near Rustlings Road. You are a house cat, a British tabby. You're one who's escaped the boredom of domestic life for some of the danger of Sheffield streets in the small hours of the morning. But you've found no mice, no early birds, no small mammals to hunt, so you've wandered over to the supermarket. You're currently in an alley that runs behind the store, checking the milk bottles, hoping to find some milk that's just past its expiry date. You tip over one bottle, no milk spills out. That's when you hear it, the sound of heavy equipment. You cat prance over to see what all the noise is about. You climb up a chain link fence and hop onto the stone rooftop of the store. As you draw near to the edge, you spy a cordon of cops. They're shutting down both ends of a quiet, leafy, well-treed street. The cops are setting up a safety zone for tree surgeons from AMEY. This is a well-coordinated early morning raid. The target, 8 mature trees. You walk along the length of the roof to get a better view. From the corner, you can see the police pounding on front doors. When the doors swing open, the bobbies inform the residents that they must move their cars. It's 5 a.m. now at this point. At the same time, there's a chorus of chainsaws starting to sing to life. You hate all the noise, but you're so curious. The tree surgeons are going at it with a martial energy. They strike early, they strike hard. They come in with cherry picker trucks, heavy saws, the terrible buzzing and tearing of tree flesh. It rends the quiet of the early morning. Confused residents are bumbling around on the sidewalk beneath you. Here and there, a car starts to life and then drives off as the police instruct them where to go. You scratch at the gravel of the rooftop bricks. Your tail flicks at the receding darkness as morning is taking hold. You hear a new commotion. A young man and his two comrades, two women in their 70s, charge the police-guarded safety zone. The bobbies push back against them as the tree defenders try to position themselves beneath the tree surgeons. You jump across a high space above the action and land on a tree limb. Of the tree slated for the chop, you prance along the rough barked limb and walk up to the tree surgeon, armed with his heavy industrial chainsaw, standing in the cherry picker box 20 feet above the fray. You stare into the eyes of the tree surgeon. He stares back at you. You are disgusted with what he's doing, but for your own reasons, as a cat. He looks back at you. The guilt grows in his eyes. Beneath you, the chopped up chunks of seven mature trees. The tree leaves rustle from a small breeze. Beneath you, you can hear the shouting of the tree defenders and the cops fighting back. They're going at it. Somehow, the noise falls away slightly as you lock eyes with the tree surgeon. Then you see it. A single tear runs down his cheek. Handcuffs get slapped onto the tree defender's wrist. Cops toss him in the back of a police lorry, and off they go to be booked at the closest jail. You run down the trunk of the tree and set out to find some breakfast or maybe some danger. You cat prance through the carnage, the police tape, and the fallen bodies of the trees. Elizabeth, can you imagine that early morning scene?
Oh my
Heartbreaking.
God. Terrible.
But this morning raid, it failed spectacularly because it led to a rush of news media images. Imagine old people lying down on the ground to protect these trees next to the brutality of the sawtooth and the cold metal of the blade, right? Big savage chunks of tree, sawdust piled like pooled blood. It looked bad in the morning papers. But if you can believe it, this has been the idea all along. This is what they wanted.
Well, if you have to do something in that sneaky way of I'm going to do it at 5 a.m.
yes, when
before everyone's awake, you know you're doing something wrong.
Totally.
Plus, I would imagine that 5 a.m. is inside of quiet hours.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So you can't
silence the law.
Yeah, you can't start sawing at 5 a.m.
But here it's 8 a.m. We couldn't turn on power tools before 8 a.m.
Right, exactly. So
yeah, they ignored all of that, and they said, we have a bigger impulse to answer to. Now, if you can believe it, as I said, this had been their idea. They wanted these graphic images, but the message they sent was too strong. It was too graphic, right? A memo would surface later on, which confirmed the city council and the highways team's cynical view on how to best respond to their protesters. And I quote, removing the trees on Rustlings Road will remove a symbol of the tree campaign. Instead, their morning raid, it became a symbol for the tree campaign.
Yeah, exactly.
The raid was, as I said, it was never about the health of the trees or even about the solving the ostensible problem. Remember, this all started with fixing the unsafe streets.
Right, right.
Now, the police-assisted raid, purely an emotional message composed in the symbolic language of a felled tree, chopped up, sectioned, left lying in the streets, ready for the wood chopper, right? An old lady on the ground next to it in an agony face, right? This image was meant to break the spirit of the tree defenders, instead galvanizes the people of the
completely.
Whole country. The UK is like, what is going on in Sheffield, right? So they'd moved beyond the borders of Southwest Sheffield. Now, suddenly, it was no longer rich people trying to save their quiet, leafy, shaded streets. Now it was the people fighting for the green future of Britain.
Yeah, yeah.
Elizabeth,
yes.
Enter the flying squad. So we'll take a little break because I just wanted to tease you with your flying squad is about to come
squad.
In. And it's not the one you think it is.
Oh.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit TrinitySchool.org for more info now.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
All right, Elizabeth.
Okay, Zarin.
Remember I teased you before we went to break?
Yes, flying squad.
Yes, your guys, your girls, the squad.
Yeah.
But it's not that flying squad. Uh-huh. This was a group of protesters who called their new action group the Flying Squad.
Oh,
they
okay.
took it back from the police. Why? Because they knew a good name when they heard it. They're like, you guys aren't using it right. We'll take that. So the Flying Squad was about 30 people deep, and they were ready to fly to danger, thus the name. They were spotters, fast responders. They chased tree surgeons to the job sites, and then they stood beneath the trees like everybody else to stop the work. But they were unafraid to confront tree surgeons or the police. Soon enough, these tree surgeons from Amy, right? They feel they have to protect themselves from all these mad, as they called them, chipper chasers. So some of these tree surgeons would compare it, the streets were turning into the Wild West. They did not feel safe in these streets.
Yeah, they're just trying to do their job.
Now they've got these newly drafted soldiers in the fight because it's gone national. So now people are flooding in from other cities and towns.
Man.
And the fight becomes, this group, this fighting force, if you will, becomes so effective that in June 2017, in just 1 month, the tree choppers, they were scheduled to cut down 472 trees.
Uh-huh.
You know how many times they had to stop? 329 times. Flying Squad was on it. One tree surgeon from Amy, he said of the protesters, it's incredibly frustrating. I wanted to do the job I was paid to do, not to be the face of a controversial policy. I had the colleagues who didn't agree with what the council was doing, who were almost relieved if the protesters turned up. But for me, I just felt caught in the middle and started to dread getting up in the morning. I was eventually signed off for stress. He had to leave his job, Elizabeth.
I don't blame him.
So, and we still haven't gotten to the worst of the war. So,
oh, God.
Yeah. Summer of 2017, it gets hot. Sheffield City Council receives the final report from the commissioned independent tree panel, the one the rich people first paid for.
Oh, okay.
What does it suggest?
Don't cut down trees.
Now, you know it. Now, the city council, they had posed this question always as a debate of, do you want trees or smooth roads? Well, the action group STAG, and they had always said, that's a false debate. We can have both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the tree panel, the independent panel, they said, that's exactly correct. You can totally have smooth roads and trees. So they said, like, you know, I understand you want to do the mass removal of trees, but that's not necessarily the absolute only way to do this. So the city council's decision to continue chopping down trees because they decided, you know what, that's a great report, and no, we're not doing that.
So, and again, were they going to replace these with saplings, or were they just going to...
They're taking trees out, pulling them out of the earth, putting in saplings.
Okay.
And you're really small, like, you know, a little, like, 2-foot
tall trees.
And
so then they were supposed to fix the roads at the same time.
And they thought that by doing that, the root structure would no longer keep growing and lifting the road, so then they can get a handle on the roads.
It's going to grow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it turns out it was a little more complicated, because at this point, basically, the city council says, we don't care about all this, like, oh, we shouldn't cut down trees. We're cutting down trees. So everybody says, don't cut down trees, they're wrong.
Right.
They basically, and at this point, they'd also forsaken the moral high ground because they're just going with policy. They're not listening to anybody.
Yeah.
So this guarantees that violence will now be the next response.
Oh, no.
Because they're not listening anymore. They're ignoring experts. They're ignoring the process. They won't talk to anyone. The people are desperate. The people are willing to put their own bodies in danger. What's next? They're going to put your body in danger.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is when the authorities opt to pursue a policy that normally is reserved for gang members in Southern California. They sought an injunction against the protesters, making it illegal for them to gather and oppose the tree fellings and the mass removal. The new injunctions were aimed at specifically 16 of the lead protesters. They were all given letters that told them that they would face prison time, they'd be financially liable for delays, court costs. It's estimated to run into the hundreds of thousands of pounds. This obviously was meant to be a scare tactic.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the tree surgeons from Amy, who would be ostensibly protected by this injunction, they opposed it. They're like, don't do this. This is dumb.
Yeah.
Instead, they offered to carry the cost themselves of finding alternative solutions to fix the streets without removing trees. They're now willing to become street fixers. The highways team, they hear about this plan to concede to the protesters, and they take a hardline stance. So enter the sunken cost fallacy.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's the us or them bunker mentality and the sunken cost fallacy teaming up. The executive, Buzz Killington, Billington, he writes an email that speaks directly to this when he says, and I quote, given we spent £150,000 to get this far, we don't really have a choice. So you spent that much, got to go through with it.
Even though these guys are saying they'll foot the bill for the...
Exactly. So it isn't really about the money, since they've nixed Amy's offer to save the city council money by paying for their own costs. But at this point, Billington and the others from the highway team, they're loaded for bear, Elizabeth. They're going out for a hunt. So they want the war. They want Amy and the tree surgeons to understand what side they are on. Billington writes to Amy and his tree surgeons on November 6, 2017, "You are losing the battle. The council is very frustrated at the current policy of turn up and pack up." So what do? They were so incensed that they start not paying Amy. They withheld £2.5 million of the promised contract. They're like, over 5 month period, they're just not paying them. They're like, "Unless you start doing stuff, we're not going to pay you." And they keep complaining and saying, like, "It's because you turn up and pack up."
Yeah.
But they can't do anything. So they're now putting the pressure on them, their own, like, associates. Anyway, seeing which way the wind blow that same November, Amy hired private security to protect their tree surgeons from the anger and the ire of the protesters, and they are given the right to manhandle the protesters, because in accordance with the injunction, this works. You have to get out of the way of the tree removal.
Oh, wow.
So at this point, the Great Tree War becomes an endurance fight. Who could outlast the other? Amy and his tree surgeons also begin to track and document all the protesters. So now the protesters start donning masks, disguises. They adopt outrageous accents. They're speaking in Glaswegian accents for no reason. It was just amazing, right? So this is also when the bunnies, the geckos, and the squirrels enter the picture.
Well,
you may be wondering, did I just have like a Snow White moment? What do you mean the bunny, the geckos? So the protesters, they self-sorted into three animal forms. Bunnies, geckos, and squirrels, Elizabeth. See, the bunnies, they're bounders. So they are responsible for hopping and bounding over the garden walls and all the erected metal barriers. And then they would help to keep the protesters away from the safe zones beneath the trees to be cut down. So they just hop over these barriers and then they go, "Hey!" And they hop, they hug up against the trees. That's the bunnies. The geckos, they would thrust themselves against walls, you know, like how they stick to a wall.
Yeah.
And they would make it so the barrier couldn't be closed and other people could brush through or whatever. That's the geckos. Then we have the squirrels. As you might imagine, they would bravely climb the trees and perch in the branches, making it impossible to cut the tree down. They were the bravest of the freedom fighters in the Great Tree War. Yeah, so their successes would set up the stage for the violence to come. Because now we're getting actual engagement and tactics and strategies and groups, and you got commandos. So this leads to the Battle of Mearsbrook Park Road. January 15th, 2018, the city council has been putting pressure on Amy to stand tall, right, to do the right thing. And to do this, they've authorized the use of reasonable force.
Yeah.
So the private security are now basically unofficially deputized by the city council to rough up the protesters. This means they can grab the bunnies and toss them out of the safe zones. They can pull geckos off the wall. They can grab squirrels out of the tree, which is not going to go good, right?
Yeah.
This is also, they don't have to worry about legal consequences. They're like, "We got you. You just rough them up." This all comes to a head in the Battle of Mearsbrook Park Road. The crowd that day, big, angry, loud, raucous. They were energized by recent successes. The private security, equally energized. Conflict's guaranteed. One bunny, an older married woman in her 60s, hopped over a barricade, entered the safe zone. She's grabbed by private security. In response, she flops on the ground, right? Her husband sees this, but he only sees his wife on the ground. He misses that she threw herself on
the
ground.
Whole passive resistance.
And he just sees the menacing private security are, like, you know, standing over, and he reacts like a husband. He charges the barricade, knocks it down, and then 20 other protesters basically pour sheep through a gate with him.
Uh-huh.
They all rush in there. Now the elder husband gets to his wife's side. He helps her up to her feet, but they have to pretend not to know each other, because if they know each other and their husband and wife, they'll be identified, and then the injunction will put them in jail. So they go, are you all right? Whoever you are.
Yeah.
So they're having this fake moment. Exactly. It's really sweet. Anyway, news media is there on hand. They're snapping photos of this confrontation. They're seeing all this. The photos are amazing. The elders on the ground, the menacing boots of private security above them, the UK, the whole country, the United Kingdom, rather, they are outraged as this story becomes national news. Now it's just Green Britain and they're beating up the elders. This is terrible, right? The Sheffield City Council and Highways team, they have to lick their wounds and regroup for the next front in the ongoing tree war, right? So the tree surgeons at Amy, they announced that they plan to pause the tree removals. They say, okay, we're going to just pause and, like, let's think about this for a month.
Mm-hmm.
The highways team, they go, no, we're not doing that. We're not thinking about anything. So the executive, old Buzz Killington, he sends an email to the in-house counsel, a lawyer for the Streets Ahead program, going, like, what are we going to do about this? Subject line, please print and then delete.
Oh.
lawyer. He sent to a lawyer.
Oh, God. You know, like, the lawyer gets it and just
goes, you can't do this to me.
Stop.
So in the email, Killington, old Buzz Killington, he recommended they try a new approach. He recommended that they ring the trees, as in ring barking. You know, this is where you basically take out a big gouge in the tree all the way around, and it interrupts the flow of the nutrients up and down the bark, or inside the bark, basically. So the tree just dies. It's like cutting its throat. So he puts in his email, quote, "The tree is killed and dies over a number of months. It would move all trees into the dying category. It mean that Stag can no longer claim that they were defending healthy trees." The in-house counsel, Elizabeth, ruled this out as an extreme tactic.
Yeah.
It's like, we can't start killing trees. No. Anyway, so we're in February. Now we have claims of sabotage on the part of the protesters. Allegedly, an elderly couple, they offered some of the tree surgeons some hot tea, and the tea was loaded with laxatives so that the tree surgeons would have rushing to the porta potty. They couldn't work. Now, the elderly couple says, this is not true. I don't know.
These guys just can't handle their tea.
They're just crappy on their own. I don't know why they're blaming us. Now, the case of the crappy tea becomes another national news story. So now they're just looking silly. They're looking mean. They're not looking good in any of these news stories. At the same time, violence is becoming more common. So they're looking brutish and laughable. Security guard has his wrist broken. AIDS protesters are being sent to the hospital for medical treatment.
Oh my God.
By March 2018, Sheffield's head of communication writes another email. Put simply, there is no good picture of older residents being arrested. There is no good way to photograph a tree lying in the street. He's like, we are losing the Great War. We are losing the public. We are losing the information war.
The optics, they are terrible.
Oh, yeah. The optics are gone. They lost those. So the tree surgeons, they informed the city council they will no longer be able to, quote, keep calm and carry on. They're like, same for the South Yorkshire police. They're like, look, we're bailing on your war. It's draining our resources. Yeah. This is ridiculous. The Forestry Commission of the nation opens an investigation to determine if the tree removal is even legal or not. So now, this is the end of March. The tree surgeons at Amy, they announced they would pause all tree removals. At this point, 5,600 trees have been chopped down. That was 15% of the total.
Yeah.
That's five times more than the 3% that was recommended. Anyway, the Great Tree War is now over. Time to win the peace, Elizabeth.
Yes.
In May, there were local elections. Mm-hmm. The city council suffered stunning losses.
Oh, I bet.
New leadership put new people in charge of the Streets Ahead program. They open up peace talks with the tree defenders. The first meeting takes place in September, months later. The peace talks require a mediator because things are still so hot. The mediator is the Bishop of Sheffield.
Stop it.
Yeah, so months pass as the peace talks go on and on. By December 2018, the two groups release a joint statement. Going forward, the city council would work with residents to create a reasonable solution for the remaining trees. The next year, a new team of experts, they convene. They select 12 trees at random, and they inspect them. And the team finds that the streets could be repaired without removing any of the trees. You see, they'd always assumed that the trees were the problem and it was the roots, but no one had actually tested that theory.
Oh my God.
When they did check it, when someone actually did look, the problem was the streets themselves, because prior repairs had always just poured more asphalt on top of broken asphalt and then more asphalt. Some of the areas they checked were a foot thick. The road surface was foot thick.
That's the issue. Ugh.
So after inspecting the 12 trees, they found that many times, not only did the trees not need to be cut down, but the repairs could be performed the same day as the inspection.
Oh, no.
So years of bitter conflict, violence, threats of prison time could have all been avoided if the city council had considered the actual task at hand. And instead of falling into their our side, your side, our side, and then weird language problems like mature trees. I don't know about that. Can we get some younger trees? So, Elizabeth, what's our ridiculous takeaway here?
Oh, my goodness. I'm thinking about it, and it's like I understand. Obviously, you know, like I love plants and trees.
Sure. And they occasionally do need to be taken
out. But they do. And I think that's sometimes you get, you know, a little bit too enamored of the notion of saving everything and it can't be saved. You know, some things grow better after being cut back severely.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole crepe murder thing. But in terms of if you're removing these trees, you know, I'm feeling like you don't want them to take out mature trees that are in their prime.
Yeah, they're fruiting and flowering.
But you have to be okay with, you know, they don't live forever.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people lose sight of that. And particularly if they're going to replace them, you know, that's a huge thing. They're not just paving everything.
Yeah, but think of the effect of losing all that, those leafy, shady streets.
Yeah, no,
if you take all the trees down on a street, not just one or two and you're replacing those, but all eight on one side of
one
a street,
time, yeah.
All those houses on that side of the street, they have a much different experience.
Huge impact.
And they can't just pick up their home and move. So the trees become part of their environment. And so they saw them as their trees.
And you do need it for, you know, pollution abatement and just, you know,
just general,
healthy air quality and everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can see both sides, but
I can. You how like about how you, it all, Saren?
What? Look at you.
What's your ridiculous takeaway?
I'm so proud of
takeaway.
You. You just asked. Oh my
I know,
God.
I'm learning.
Well, the deal, Elizabeth, is this. For me, I thought it was just basically, because I pointed out, ridiculous that it all came down to the word mature trees. And then the whole our side, my side, like instead of getting down, and I always point this out whenever I'm trying to have an argument with somebody, is what are we actually fighting about, and how do we get to a win? Like, how do we want there to be? Like, what is the result? And then if we can get to that, we can figure out what the obstacle is. And sometimes it's not so much about my side, your side, but like, what do we both have to do to get there? And then you don't think of it as compromise. As I've told you, I try to stand shoulder to shoulder with somebody and we both look at the problem, as opposed to across a table where it seems like only one side of the table can win. That's all they had to do, is just look at the problem standing shoulder to shoulder, and boom, done. They would have seen, like, oh, it's the roads.
Yeah, and we live in a time of us and them. And
exactly. I mean, this very much speaks to our times.
Yeah, it really does.
It is our times, actually. I mean, it's just pre-COVID. That's the only big difference. Anyway, there you go. That's all I got for you.
That was great. Always. A lot of lessons to be learned.
I'm telling you.
Good job.
Just wanted to shed light.
Good job.
You can find us online, Ridiculous Crime, Twitter, Instagram. We also have a website, ridiculouscrime.com. And we like your talkbacks on the iHeart app. So download that, leave a talkback, or send us an email at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. As always, start it with, Dear Elizabeth. Zarin is so cool. Well, anyway, there you go. That's all we got. Catch you next crime. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by our man in Fleshshank, Northumberland, Dave Kusty. Research is by Marissa Trees Are Life Brown and Andrea. Have they never read The Giving Tree? Song Sharp and Tear. Our theme song is by Thomas the Tree Doctor Lee and Travis, Captain of the Flying Squad, Dutton. The host wardrobe provided by Body 500. Executive producers are Ben, I Got the Chopper, You Get the Copper, Bolin, and Noel, Let Me At 'Em, Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s. Dance away with hip-hop beats and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com. Or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.